The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good afternoon, happy National Donut Day, and welcome. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora today. News Talk 710 at KNUS from 3 to 4. Yes, I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I have my donut here, which was free because I got coffee. Yes, I have afternoon coffee, but, you know, sometimes it's what you got to do, especially when you're about to host radio, and it's something that you normally do is get some coffee going no matter what time of the day that you're hosting, and even if it's just an hour long. Good to be with you here on the program. Of course, I host the Jimmy Sangenberger Show every Saturday morning, so I'll be on from 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. Our telephone number, 303-696-1971. If you'd like to join into the festivities, you could text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. And there are plenty of other ways to get in touch with yours truly directly, including via email, 710KNUS.com. Just go to my show's page, The Jimmy Sangenberger Show, and shoot me a message from there. And you can also email me via the contact page at my website, jimmysangenberger.com. Keep in mind, there's no A, I, or U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. So, yesterday, we spent most of the program talking about and streaming live bits and pieces of a meeting of the Denver Public Schools Board of Education, where they were set to take up two competing proposals regarding police cops on campus. One, put forward by Scott Balderman on the board, would bring back school resource officers under certain conditions and leave it up to the superintendent to determine where, when, and for how long SROs would be stationed on campus at particular schools. It's not a perfect proposal. There are a lot of things I think that need to be worked out, but it's at least a starting point and a willingness to bring them back. Unlike three members of the board who proposed an alternative one that then they turned out to be a little less serious about. That would be, of course, none other than the vice president of the board, Tay Anderson, along with Scott Esserman and Michelle Quattlebaum. And they put forward one that would set up community resource officers that would not be allowed on campuses except under certain emergency circumstances or in incidents or situations that are required by law. So more or less, basically, the failed policy we have in place now, just dressed up a little differently. Now, when you look at these two proposals, one isn't great, the other is terrible. But they ended up, and this is where, towards the end of the show, I was confused as to what in the world was going on, and especially when I did a little crossover conversation with Stefan. It was unclear what ended up happening because some of the board members brought up the idea of, instead of these two proposals, including the one that they put forward, Tay, Esserman, and Quattlebaum, those three, I call them the Tay three, because they're frequently aligned together. The Tay three said, well, we have in place this EL-1010. That's the policy that bars school resource officers, police officers that are specially trained from being on campuses. We have that in place. Why don't we just do an up or down vote on whether we want to keep or repeal EL-1010? Which they should have done originally, in my view, in the sense of just get rid of it and allow SROs to come back and leave it up to the discretion of the superintendent. And they sort of kind of made that point-ish, but not really. Because they know that their colleagues have reservations about not putting specific limitations on school resource officers, some criteria that they need to meet and so forth. That was made clear by, for example, Scott Balderman, who at one point in the meeting said he was concerned about not having some guidelines and guide rails for SROs that are set by the board and then executed on by the superintendent, who's currently Dr. Alex Marrero. But the reason why Tay, Esserman, and Quattlebaum, the Tay three, all tried to derail this meeting and make it about, well, let's just make an up or down vote on EL 1010 is two reasons. One, because they're not serious. They want to tank this no matter what. They do not, and they made it clear. I've got some sound bites. They made it abundantly clear they don't want SROs, school resource officers, back on Denver schools. They have a very strong, persistent, ideological, entrenched ideological opposition to it. The safety of kids is trumped by their extreme ideology. But number two, tanking it may not happen yet, but at least they can try and delay the process and change the messaging. So they can put their colleagues, play games and push, put their colleagues who are all, they're all liberal. They're all a union dominated school board 7-0. Put them all into a box on this issue if they had up or down. Oh, are you really going to put us in this position? We make a decision. Okay, we vote to get rid of this policy and keep SROs in there. Well, just let the superintendent decide how to do it. Well, then they can discuss that and be disgusted by that. But if they were to keep EL 1010, guarantee you, the Tay 3 would say, well, we all voted to keep the policy in place. So that's the end of it. We're done. Except then you have a Scott Balderman and a Charmaine Lindsay, or two members of the board who are supportive of bringing back SROs, who would say, no, we're not done. We still need to change the policy. We just didn't feel comfortable bringing back SROs without board restrictions. If it sounds a little bit convoluted, it's because it is. That's what happens when you're not focused on the kids, but you are instead, like the Tay 3R, focused on your ideology. Here's a little bit of Tay Anderson and Michelle Quattlebaum, both trying to make an absolutely illogical case to justify why they think their policy shouldn't be voted on, Balderman's policy shouldn't be voted on, and instead, they should just go to what's in place now and decide whether to keep it or get rid of it.
The issue is whether cops are in schools if they're out of schools. And so if we can't reach a consensus on that one, then I think both plans are moot. It goes back to, do we just keep 1010 in place or do we just eliminate it? Because that's the biggest difference. I think like we agree, I think both of the plans agree on stricter guidelines, more training, more funding. Like we agree on like 90% of the plan. 10% of the plan is can they be in schools or can they not be in schools? And that's what 1010 says. 1010 says superintendent shall not staff the schools with a consistent presence of law enforcement or any armed security personnel. I shouldn't memorize that, but it's like the Bible.
He's proud of it. That's why he memorized it.
That we have not given the superintendent before we actually have this SRO conversation. We have not given the superintendent to work on what do we currently have in place that hasn't been enacted. We haven't given him a chance to do 1010 with the tools and the resources that he currently has. We just jumped all the way to the end. You can't do it.
And then she goes on, oh, I trust Marrero to do the right thing. What they're arguing is absurd. First, and keep in mind, we've had shootings that have resulted in the deaths of students on or near campus. We have had guns galore showing up on Denver school campuses. This is a critical issue. And Tay Anderson is there babbling on and bloviating about achieving a consensus, which, by the way, last I checked, a board doesn't govern by consensus. It governs by majority. That is to say, 4 out of 7, that ain't a consensus, but it is a majority. And he says both of these plans, the Tay 3 plan and the Balderman plan, Tay 3 again says we don't want them on campuses, but we want them nearby. And Balderman's plan says we want them on campuses, we just want to put some restrictions, have them trained, do certain things, and forbid them from doing certain things. And he says, well, if we can't agree on whether to have cops in or not, then we should just address whether we have the policy that we have in place or not. What? It doesn't make any sense. Especially because this isn't about an agreement of 7 like they're trying to stage it. It's about a majority. Can Scott Balderman get 4 members on board with his proposal? It seems pretty clear you've at least got 2, because based on Charmaine Lindsay joining us on the station before, she's supportive. I get the sense from what I've read that Xochitl Gaitán, the school board president, is. I don't know where Kerry Olson is on this. But then you have the Tay 3 who are opposed to it. And then you got Michelle Quattlebaum, who, I mean, you want to talk about word salad. Too often I get a sense of word salad like Kamala Harris from Director Quattlebaum. But here's the thing. She's saying, oh, well, we're not actually giving the superintendent the tools with what we have now, so we shouldn't do anything. Basically, she's saying, we should let the superintendent come up with a safety plan that doesn't involve SROs. What? Well, she's got a very strong objection. 303-696-1971. I want you to listen to this. Michelle Quattlebaum on the board. And she's speaking from the perspective as a black woman and really going in on the race baiting for this. This is the real motivation. It's the elephant in the room, but let's address it. The real motivation behind wanting SROs to come back to school.
We are talking about policing black children. That is what we're talking about.
Policing black children.
We are talking about, without saying it, we are talking about how do we make sure that white students are safe when they're in school with black students. That's really the conversation that we're having. But we're trying not to have it. And I'm tired of it. Let's have it. If we're going to have a conversation, let us have the conversation. Let us not lie to ourselves about what we're really talking about.
Did you hear what she said? We are talking about policing black children. And she said this is really about, and I quote, how do we make sure that white students are safe when they're in school with black students? And that's the motivation behind bringing back school resource officers. Are you kidding me? Casting those kinds of aspersions on countless community members, including, by the way, many black community members in Denver. When I had interviewed on the radio several weeks back, Charmaine Lindsay from the board, she came in with Albertus Simmons, longtime, he's very on the left, and he's a longtime civil rights activist. And he was wholeheartedly behind SROs and said, we never should have gotten rid of them. And there are many others in the black community who are increasingly supportive, including one who's a leader, I've interviewed her as well, who's a leader in the Resign DPS movement that is calling for all 7 board members to up and resign. And she's got colleagues on the board who are supporting bringing back SROs because community members are clamoring for it. And this woman has the audacity to accuse all of them of basically pushing a racist agenda in the community and her colleagues on the board because the question they're trying to answer with SROs is, quote, how do we make sure that white students are safe when they're in school with black students? That's the mindset of the Tay-3, summed up by one of the Tay-3 members, Michelle Quattlebaum. 303-696-1971. Before we run to a break, let's go to David in Thornton. David, good afternoon. You're on with Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora.
Thank you for taking my call. Maybe Anderson doesn't want police officers there in case he goes to Saint North High School, you know, and want to look up some girls.
So,
might get arrested.
I got you there. Certainly, he had an investigation. You can go back to what that investigation had entailed. It didn't find anything specific in that regard, but what it did say in terms of the investigation, law group investigation, was that he had inappropriately and coercively attempted to date two underage teenage girls who were 16 and 17 when he was a candidate for school board and when he was on the school board. And he also was found to have intimidated witnesses on at least two occasions during the investigation. Which, by the way, harkens back to when he was previously, before joining the board briefly, an employee of Denver Public Schools when he was found to have violated district policy on retaliation using social media. And he has also browbeat constituents throughout his tenure and as recently as within the last couple of months, browbeat and intimidated them on social media. And of course, he gets away with it with impunity. But that's who we are dealing with when it comes to Tay Anderson. But he has a block with regards to law enforcement. It's just, we saw that back when he was pulled over in September of last year. Tay was pulled over by a policeman. And it was for speeding in a school zone. And the officer was great. Really was great. And Tay kept the music on until he brought it down, and he accused the officer of wanting to shoot him. That's the guy that we're talking about in Tay Anderson who doesn't want law enforcement on campuses. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick up the conversation on the other side. You can text into the show as well in the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. Name and town, if you wish to text in. Keep it right here. Just getting started with the hour. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora on News Talk 710 KNUS. Rocking and rolling back, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora, appreciating Jim Nichols behind the glass, producer extraordinaire, for plopping this tune into the system. It's the great Robin Trower, The Fool in Me, and I feel like every time I talk about the Denver School Board, and particularly the Tay-3, Tay Anderson, Scott Esserman, and Michelle Quattlebaum, I'm sort of talking like it's the fools and me and you who are listening, trying to make sense of these fools on the board, particularly, again, when I call the Tay-3. Welcome back if you're just joining us on the program. Maybe you caught yesterday when we live streamed some of the Denver Public Schools board meeting where they were hashing out school resource officers. Well, what were the next steps that they came out of this work session yesterday? The next steps are that there were no next steps. They ended up not having any course that they had charted because they got bogged down by the Tay-3 playing games. There are few sense makers on the board. We'll get to Mike in Denver at 303-696-1971 in just a moment. But two of the sense makers on this issue of school resource officers are Scott Balderman, who has put forward at least a decent starting point of a proposal for bringing back school resource officers, having them be trained and putting some other limitations. And you've got Charmaine Lindsay, who I've interviewed on this station. And yesterday, Tay and Charmaine had a little bit of a tussle. Here's a sample of that, where Tay is trying to take the chief of police, Ron Thomas, And what he said regarding SROs and the shooting incidents that happened at East High School, and Tay is trying to extrapolate from that and say, well, this shows that we don't need SROs. Take a listen to just 20 seconds of an exchange.
It's not my opinion around the assessment around what happened at East High School. Those are the words of the chief of police, who has now said it on numerous occasions that necessarily having an SRO would not have stopped what happened at East
necessarily.
High
School.
And that's, those are the chief of police's words.
That's necessarily. That's, no, no.
I'm just saying those are the chief of police words.
It's still saying he, we don't know. That
and so that those are his words.
Rarely ever have I heard a direct one-on-one challenge to Tay by a board member. There was a little bit more to that exchange, particularly because Charmaine Lindsay was critiquing comments made by Tay Anderson, in essence, and Tay wanted to jump in, couldn't let it stand and let others chime in. He had to get his say, and she responded. Rarely does he ever actually get argument back like that. It was good to hear, and yes, the chief of police said something to the effect of, we don't know if SROs would necessarily have fixed this. They wouldn't necessarily have made a difference. Well, sure. Necessarily. That's the operative word, right? 303-696-1971. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app. Name in town if you wish to text in. Let's go to Mike in Denver, who patiently waited through the break. Good afternoon, Mike. You're on with Jimmy and for Deborah.
Oh, hey, Jimmy. How are you? Love the show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. What's on your mind?
I'm surprised you played Robin Tower. Probably nobody even knows who that is anymore. But
Great guitarist.
Yeah, he was one of the best.
Yep.
But anyway, I don't know. Somebody elects these people on the school board, I assume. That's what they do in Denver. So, I don't know. I guess they get what they get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, first of all, Robin Trower is still alive, actually, so he has not passed on yet. But second of all, in that regard, you're right. Finally, we have voters speaking up and speaking out. It's really interesting. If you're only looking at the school safety issue, two out of three of the candidates who are actually on the ballot look decent by comparison to Tay Anderson, who's on the ballot. So you got Tay Anderson on the ballot, and then you've got Scott Balderman, who's running for re-election, as I understand it. And if Charmaine Lindsay announces she wasn't going to, I don't know if she will or not, if she'll change her mind on that, but if she were to run for re-election, those are the two that are actually supporting a return of SROs, and that's two-thirds out of those who are running. Now, of course, there are a lot more issues on education, but that's the hot-button issue right now, and you do have those two, but there is a call from a lot of folks in the community for all seven board members to resign to bring in a clean slate, and big push for that.
Yeah, probably a good idea. I mean, I was born and raised in Camden, New Jersey. And if you know anything about Camden, okay. So, I mean, police can't solve the problem in school. I mean, you got to give respect and earn respects. And, you know, I have some children, and when they went to school, I just taught them that they needed to know how to defend themselves. And that's the way it was, because you can't rely on this SRO being right where the event's going to occur. So the police chief is accurate. You know, I mean, he can't. You know, you can't have 150,000 police officers in the school every day. But, you know, these people are just misdirected about how you solve the problem, because they've created problems with the new society that are really unsolvable.
Well, that's true. And I would say that while there's no guarantees with having officers on location, it makes for a much better environment. It's a incentive. It's a deterrent from bringing guns to campus. I think undoubtedly a deterrent. Doesn't mean it's going to always work, but it's going to make a significant impact to have SROs there for a variety of reasons. And then you also have, they have a terrible discipline policy that they really need to zero in on and fix. Bringing back SROs is not enough. That really is one of the key pieces on what they have regarding discipline. It's so weak in DPS.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what basically went wrong, is we got rid of all discipline, all authority, you know, so everybody thinks they can do whatever they want whenever they feel like doing it, you know, and it's just stupid after a while, because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
People cannot manage themselves. That's the bottom line.
You have to provide incentives. That's a society operates only because of incentives, whether that is an incentive to do something or an incentive not to do something.
Yeah, well, you have to have self-discipline, and you have to have emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. But some of that, you know, in younger times, even for myself, you know, it takes you to mature into all that, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So, before I let you go, Mike, just a fun little bit of Jimmy trivia. I moved here from New Jersey when I was 10 years old.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you come from?
So, small town called Stuartsville in northwestern Jersey.
Yeah, I know
Warren County
is.
You know where Stuartsville is?
Yeah.
So my sister was born in Flemington. So it's been a long time since we lived in Jersey, and I was there 5 years, born and lived 5 years in Albany, New York before Jersey, and then we've been here for 22 years. But so what
yeah.
a
when I moved here to Denver, I got an apartment at the corner of Colfax and Logan. And I was working down in Boulder, and everybody was saying to me, oh, dude, you know, you moved into the ghetto or something. And I was looking at him like, man, I'm from New Jersey. If you think that Denver's a ghetto, I need to take you to Newark, Jersey City, Hoboken.
Particularly if you were from Camden.
Yeah. I said, you know, I was like, ghetto? You don't even know what a ghetto looks like. The guy I moved out here with was a black guy from Virginia. So, you know, I'm like, you know, you guys got to be kidding me. But down in Boulder, they were like, oh, my God, you live in Logan and Colfax. Like, I lived in the heart of Bed-Stuy or Lefrak City or something in New York.
Mike, well, you bring a good perspective there to this crime issue in Colorado. But make no mistake, it's got worse, and worse. And especially for kids. I got to run, Mike, but I appreciate the call,
see
brother.
You.
Thank you.
Good
303.
Show. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, sir. 303-696-1971. Eric in Stapleton texting in. Jimmy, these days, as you know, these young students don't see color. It's the administration starting this race baiting BS. So I would agree, except what I would put in terms of a caveat is that they have been drilling it in since these kids were younger. And especially when you get into high school, they've been trained to believe it, many of them. A lot of young people have been indoctrinated to believe this gobbledygook, which is why you have a lot of students who are opposed to bringing back school resource officers, because supposedly they're going to be harmful. In fact, Quattlebaum, the woman we heard with the race-baiting word salad before, Quattlebaum literally said, we're not trauma-informed because police bring trauma to kids. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what she said. What? What world are we living in here? And why can't you reach some reasonable understanding of bringing back cops on campus, but also saying, okay, we want to do it our way, so do it your way? In fact, it was interesting. Scott Balderman originally voted to remove school resource officers back in 2020. And he told me, and I quote him in my column today for the Denver Gazette entitled, Denver Board at Odds Over Cops on Campus. He told me, quote, I've changed my views because of what I've learned since then. Saying, look, the reality is different from what I thought before, and I've changed my views. Okay, good. And in that change of views, he went back and looked more closely at the original agreement between Denver Public Schools and the Denver Police Department from back in 2013, an agreement, by the way, that has been used by the schools in Chicago and Cleveland and other even bigger urban school districts as a model for their relationship for SROs. Relationship between the district, the police, regarding school resource officers. And they use Denver as a model. So Balderman talked yesterday about how he went back and looked at it more closely and found that there were some pretty good things in that arrangement. I mean, come on. He's right. If only he looked sooner. But hey, at least he's looking now and saying, okay, guys, we got to make a change. And there are some decent things that were in the place before. That's a starting point. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. So the Tay 3, and I talk about this in my Gazette column today, the Tay 3 have been going after the superintendent, Dr. Alex Marrero, for months. And not for the reasons, for example, that my good buddy Stephen Tubbs has been calling for the resignation of Marrero as superintendent. For very different reasons, they've been gunning for him going back to last year. And yesterday, one of the things that good old Tay Anderson said to Superintendent Marrero indicates he's not happy with Marrero for bringing back SROs.
To the point that you were making, Madam President, around the telling the superintendent how to do his job, and I mean this with no offense, we had a very clear policy that was clear that we did not staff schools with SROs. And there was a decision by the superintendent to then go ahead, even before the board had agreed, to make a decision about reinstating SROs. And so with that happening, that gives me pause as a policymaker to say we need to have something very clear of the expectations that we have so that it doesn't happen again.
We want to make very clear to you, Marrero, that we have clear expectations so that you don't take the initiative yourself to bring back school resource officers on a temporary basis. A pox on you, Marrero, for that decision. Not other things that have gone on and failures, but for that decision. This is why I don't give the Tay 3 credit for voting against the raise for Marrero. Tay Esserman, Tay Anderson, Scott Esserman, Michelle Quattlebaum, all three of them voted no. Why did they vote no? Because they want Marrero to leave, and the talk of the town has been for weeks that Marrero wants to leave and go to a different job. And so how can you keep him, try to sweeten the pot, give him a bit of a raise? Because doing a superintendent search right now would be very difficult. And if he does leave, then you at least have a better compensation package for the next guy that's foolish enough to come work for Denver Public Schools as a superintendent. That's why the Tay 3 voted no, and they deserve no credit for it. 303-696-1971. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll squeeze in two more calls on the other side. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. Time is flying by on a very important topic as we continue on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Jimmy in for Deborah Flora. Charlie Daniels gets you in a nice peppy mood on a Friday afternoon. May he rest in peace. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora. Wrapping up and winding down as Charlie sings about that funky junkie. Tomorrow on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show from 6 to 9, it's a must-listen program. I will be joined in the 7 o'clock hour in studio by Kwame Spearman, who is one of two announced candidates thus far seeking to dethrone, to unseat Tay Anderson from being on the Denver Public Schools Board of Education. And I will be joined as well in the morning by, in the 6 a.m. hour, by the Ron brothers, Darren and Jason Ron. Darren Ron is the husband of none other than Priscilla Ron. And Darren is a fabulous, tremendous professional sax player and record producer, extraordinarily successful record producer. And his brother, who lives, I think, in Wisconsin or Minnesota, is a accomplished trumpeteer, trumpet player. So I am very excited to have the two of them on in the morning as they have a brand new single that has just dropped as of today, and we will have the very first radio airing of their single. By the way, Jason is in Wisconsin. 303-696-1971, our telephone number on 710-KNUS, which along with the Centennial Institute presents the 2023 Western Conservative Summit June 9th and 10th at the Colorado Convention Center, featuring Lauren Boebert, Eric Metaxas, Ken Buck, Riley Gaines, Frank Gaffney, Tulsi Gabbard, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, and many more. News Talk 710 KNUS is the official station of the 2023 Western Conservative Summit. Get tickets online at 710KNUS.com. We have a few minutes left before I hand over the microphone to Mr. Stephen Tubes. But before we get there, let's go to Brian in Green Valley Ranch. Good afternoon, Brian. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, I got a few points. I know I got a limited time, but
yes, sir.
First of all, you know, Tay says school to prison pipeline. I say without SROs, it's the school to the morgue pipeline.
And you know what? I can't play the clip now due to time, and I got another caller too, but Charmaine Lindsay basically made that point, expressing if you don't have SROs there, then you don't discourage behavior that could end up with jail time or worse.
Right. So I think yesterday I tweeted out a something to you about a SRO in Kansas or Missouri. Anyway, this student was suicidal, climbed up on a water tower. The only person that student would talk to was the SRO. And this story will tug at your heart. If anybody reads that story, it's on Mental Ammo at Twitter. The other thing I want to get across is I've talked to you before. I've reached out to Tay Anderson several times in a very non-confrontational manner way before he hit the media with all his antics and crap, and asked to sit down and discuss our differences. And he blocked me on Twitter. That coward of a clown blocked me on Twitter. One more thing, Jimmy.
Yes, real quick.
My kids, I'm a white cop. I have two adopted awesome kiddos that are black. Denver DPS teachers told my two kids that if they ever got pulled over by a cop, they would be shot.
I remember talking with you about that. Yes, it is. And that's the mentality that Tay Anderson encourages and that he brought when he was pulled over for speeding outside of a school zone while vice president of the school board last fall. Brian, excellent call. I appreciate it. And you said that very, very well. Appreciated here on the program. And I'll say I've been blocked by Tay. And I will also say that, and that was a long time ago. And I also invited him to join me on the radio, and I haven't heard anything. We'll let you know if I hear back. All right, real quick, final call.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.